The second kind of suffering comes if you're attached to that car. Many of the students in the class relate to this. They have automobiles that they love. You take it through the winter in Boston. The winter is cruel up there in New England. There's a lot of salt on the road. There's a lot of ice. People vandalize automobiles. Rust creeps into the parts of the vehicle. The front end becomes unbalanced. As you see the car begin to disintegrate, it causes you suffering in relation to the pleasure, to the attachment that you have invested in that object as it begins to slip away from you. That also is pretty clear. Viparinama dukkha, the suffering that comes from change, is a pretty easy concept to grasp. The third concept is more difficult, and I'm not so sure much of the time that I'm really able to convey it with this example, at least to the students who are sitting in my class at 9 in the morning. But the way you do it is to imagine that person out there in the car, fully invested with all of his ego in this powerful object, roaring up and down the avenue, feeling great surges of pleasure and energy from being in this powerful embodiment, you might say, of his manhood. And ask yourselves whether at that moment he is really happy. Now, if you ask him if he's happy, of course he's going to say yes. The pleasure of that experience is extremely satisfying, and that can't be denied. That's like a physical or emotional sensation that has reality in its own right. But is it real happiness? Is it real satisfaction? I think we know enough about situations like that in our world to begin to question whether that's the place where satisfaction really comes from. In part because it's based on a certain kind of illusion about the nature of the object and an illusion about the nature of the self and how your own ego can become invested in a transient physical object like that that will arise and pass away. So sometimes in some situations, actually perhaps in many situations, we are suffering in ways that we're not aware of because of illusions that we have about the nature of ourself or about the nature of the objects that populate our world. That seems to me to be what lies behind this third concept, this third type of suffering, the suffering that's due to conditioned states. Now, you can further unravel the doctrinal significance of these three kinds of suffering in Buddhism by relating these three categories to three more concepts, the so-called marks of existence. The first mark is that everything is suffering. The second, that everything is impermanent. This is a different way of saying that everything changes. And the third concept, that everything is, as Buddhists say, no self, or nothing has any self. This third concept is an important one. We might as well learn the Pali for it. It is anatta, no self, and it involves a negation of that old Upanishadic concept of the Atman. Perhaps you can hear it in the word. Atman in Pali becomes atta, A-T-T-A, and you negate it by putting A-N at the beginning. So un-atta means no self. Three doctrinal assertions. Everything is suffering, everything is impermanent, and nothing has a self. Now, obviously the key concept for us here to take a step deeper into the Buddhist vision of the world is this concept of no self. What does it mean for Buddhists to say that things have no self? Now, the easiest way to step into this concept is to understand that Buddhists are claiming that things have no permanent identity that lasts from one moment to the next. But so by self, what we mean here is not that there's nothing going on. We're here, we're talking, we're conversing about Buddhism in one way or another, mulling over the unfamiliarity of some of these concepts, beginning to grasp and to work with some of their implications. That's all real in a sense, but it's transient. It passes away. We too are transient phenomena. We give an illusion sometimes of some kind of continuity. This lecture series begins with an introductory lecture in which I actually speak my name as if that designated some kind of reality that could remember its experiences in the past and carry those experiences into the future. But the truth is, this personality is constantly changing. It's evolving all the time in big ways, in subtle ways. It's constantly moving. So to say that there is a self here that endures is a certain kind of illusory construction that can cause us pain in certain kinds of situations.